Well, hello there, and welcome to the Animal Control Report with your hosts,
Ashley Bishop
and Daniel Ettinger. I thought you were going to go with A. Bish today.
A. Bish? Why?
I don't know. Just something different. Something different. This is episode 211, I think. So thanks for tuning in. We're excited. This is season 5. So to all of our listeners, everyone that's been part of the show, we really appreciate you. And please check out our website, keepithumane.com. Also, check out our Facebook. That is, so there's the Animal Control Report closed group, so you have to be invited in there or request to come in. And then I'm starting a new animal control page, so find that. Just Google that. It'll be the Animal Control Report podcast public page. So if you have questions, comments, if you're not an animal control officer, you can join that or just like it. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, if you're trying to get into the closed group, make sure you're answering those questions, because I'm not letting anybody in if you don't answer the questions. Rules, people.
You know what's funny is she won't let people in, but I do. So it depends on, like, I don't even care. You'd be like, I work at Starbucks and I serve Frappuccinos. And I'm like, that's cool. You can come in. And then we redid the Instagram. So that's just, it's Animal Control Podcast. So just Instagram, Animal Control Podcast. And you can get in on that too. So check that out. We have a cool, I don't know how cool it is. I have an article that I want to read in a little bit. It's not a long one, which is good because Bishop knows. Long ones with me or
everybody knows.
I mean, without the edit button, that's tough. That's tough. So one of our officers just kicked ass yesterday. One officer alone, and this was not a hoarding call. This was over a span of 3 individual calls. Guess how many impounds over 3 calls?
15.
25.
Jesus.
I know.
Jeez.
I know, 25.
And what kind of animals?
There were 19 dogs, 1 wild hawk. I guess it would be a wild hawk. And then another 5 dogs.
And how is the 19 not a hoarding case?
Because they were just out in the community. They weren't in a house.
Oh.
They were like in a couple tubs. Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, okay.
Crazy. So wow. Anyway, we had a busy day. But
or shelter.
It was, I know. We knocked it out, though. It was rough. But
pun intended.
Rough. Well, let's get our guest on. I think it's important that we do that. I don't want to keep them just sitting in the green room. We should have a green room, though. That'd be cool. I wonder if people in the green room would have, like, a rider. Do you know what a rider is?
No.
So a rider.
It's like somebody that's on top of a horse?
A rider is, like, a contract. So anytime, like, any of your famous celebrity people, like, go and do a show, they might want only green M&Ms or a bottle. They only want Fiji water or things like that. So, like, but typically in the green room, your talent, if you will, your guest will have a rider. So Heather Kilo is our guest joining us from Springfield, Mass. Heather, what would be the first thing on your rider if that was something that you did have that in your green room?
Coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Coffee. And I'm in Missouri, not Mass.
I said Springfield, Mass?
You did. I mean, it's
you know,
probably cold.
I've been to your shelter in Springfield, Missouri, so I apologize. I apologize.
That's all good.
He's a special sort. I mean,
you know, I literally don't sleep right now because of this post-surgery crap. So, so coffee.
Your excuse now. What was it before?
Yeah, it's fair. What kind of coffee? Do you have a favorite type?
Really anything. I have a variety. I have an iced coffee maker, a Keurig, and an espresso machine in the shelter right now.
Okay.
So have you ever been to Florida and had the Puerto Rican espresso?
Oh.
I have not, but I'm going in April, so I have to try that now.
Find it.
Are you taking the family to Disney? What are you doing down there?
No, we are actually just taking a week to hit the beach and not do a darn thing.
I love it.
That's the awesome. Puerto Rican comes in like shot glasses.
Ooh.
And it is absolutely worth it. And like one of them is good to get you going.
Nice. I wrote that down because I'll
yes. Do it.
Okay, can I awesome. Just full disclosure, I got a coffee yesterday. I rarely drink coffee. In fact,
what? You were bouncing off the walls, weren't you?
So this here is tea. This is Lapsang Souchang. It is a smoky black tea from the middle part of China, somewhere in there. Very elegantly flavored. It smells like my house is a campfire, and it's okay. But I had real coffee yesterday, like legit coffee, and holy crap. Like, I don't know. There has to be a scientific thing behind this. Like, I get almost like dizzy. Like, I get like physically, it physically like is difficult for me to enjoy it.
Well, anybody? Part of it though is you, how long did you have that after you ate?
So I had like in the morning, I had a couple pastries with it.
Okay. Cause yeah. I know. And then there's me who diagnosed ADD. My husband didn't like his coffee that we got from a local coffee store. So I had 2 24-ounce lattes.
Ooh. And but no, seriously,
didn't notice a difference.
What is the deal? Like, what's the science behind getting so jittery and like feeling like literally felt dizzy, guys? Like, what's going on?
Because it's the caffeine.
Yeah. If you don't do a whole lot of caffeine, as soon as you do it,
Yeah. But they've also proven through science that caffeine is not the demon that everybody has made it out to be. So it's actually good for you.
Well, yes. It was good for me to like help with those 20-something animals yesterday. So, Heather, you know, I've been to your shelter. You have this amazing artifact on the wall. Now, we're in your office now here on the video.
Yes.
And those of you just listening on Spotify, you can actually watch this video on Spotify or YouTube. Just YouTube the Animal Control Report. In that way, you'll find this video. But you have this amazing artifact hanging from one of the old animal control officers. That was a wooden catch pole, yeah?
Yes, wooden catch pole with an eye hook in the end and rope.
Yeah, wow. It's amazing. It's one of my favorite. I almost tried to steal it from there.
Yeah, I had to look and make sure it was still there when he left.
So was that just a, like, before they had catch poles, or was this a, we don't have the funding, so we're going to make our own?
I don't know, because it's been here since I started, gosh, almost 13 years ago. Okay. So I think it's been here since probably animal control started.
Okay.
In my area, and they probably did not have a budget at that point in time. So it's use whatever you can.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, most of us understand that,
well,
right?
Yeah, 100%.
Absolutely. Before we jump in, I got to read our ad from Tomahawk Live Trap. They exceed customers' expectations by providing them with the highest quality humane animal control products available. Check out their new Pro Series Gravity Door Trap. They feature a door that sets automatically when you open it. No hook or plate setting needed. Just use discount code KEEPITHUMANE for 10% off your order at livetrap.com. Again, KEEPITHUMANE for 10% off your next order at livetrap.com.
Well, do you know how many people, common public people, don't get the concept of how to set a live trap where you've got the hook?
Oh, it's tough. Even people that are new to the industry, it's tough.
Yeah. Like, there's no good way to explain it over the phone when they call you up and they're like, how do I reset this live trap again?
And that's why you need the new Gravity Pro Series door, you know, because you just open it. I mean, it doesn't get much more simpler than that. Just open it.
I would still overthink it.
Yeah. That's fair.
Do you have the green, like a PVC pipe, just skunk trap only?
No.
So they're closed cylinders.
Yeah.
And skunk goes in, hits the door, it shuts behind him, but they can't get out, they can't spray.
Okay.
When we first got those in, I kid you not, it took us 45 minutes to figure out how to set it. Literally, you raise the door up and slide it back a quarter of an inch. It took us 45 minutes.
Well, I mean.
Yeah.
Now what you need to do is you just need to make a video so that you don't ever have to try to remember, because you've forgotten and haven't used it in so long.
No joke.
Training videos.
Yes. Oh, man. Whew. Wouldn't that be entertainment?
That would be. So how was life? How was life in Mass? I mean, again, I did it again.
Oh, my God, Dan.
I did it. Missouri. So here's the...
Misery.
It starts Misery, with an M. Correct. It starts with an M. That's why I do it. And, you know, it's like it's my stupidity of it all. How is Missouri? It's cold right now?
It is a little bit chilly right now. It got warmer. Monday was a sheet of ice anywhere we went. Luckily,
what's chilly to you?
Chilly to me is anything under 55 degrees.
Okay. And what's it at like right now?
Right now, was it 33 when I walked in?
Okay. It's about so, what yes, we're at.
It's 55, yeah. 55 here. It's going to be a high of just throwing it out there, 76 today. Just, you know,
Dan,
in case anybody
shut
was
up.
wondering.
No, nobody cares.
I don't like you anymore right now.
Nope.
Yeah. No, I'm done.
Yeah. So,
nope.
I'm with you. Don't like ice. I don't like snow. But here I am.
How are things like winter as far as like calls going down there? How is that stuff going?
We really have not slowed down at all.
Okay.
We've stayed pretty steady. I think our average slow day is about 30 calls. High day is anywhere between 60 and 70.
And you have four officers? Sorry, Bishop.
I am up to five now.
Okay.
I'm up to five.
What's your jurisdiction? How many residents?
The sign says 156,000. We're probably up to closer to 225.
Okay.
That's just inside city limits. And that's where most of our jurisdiction is. Now we do have some things we'll help out with outside in our urban area and then out in the county. We'll do bites for them. We'll assist with cruelties if they need assistance with it, but our county, in their wisdom, decided to keep those, which we get called in anyways.
Of course. But the question is, do they listen to you when you get called in?
Depends on how desperate they are for the assistance. Mm-hmm. Some days they listen really well. Other ways they really don't.
That's the one most frustrating for me, because I do some agency assists and like they call me out for my professional opinion and mm-hmm. I go, okay, you need to seize all these animals. And then they don't. And I'm like, why'd you call me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So. But
other than that, normally it's, you know, obviously we get our run of the mill calls. We have seen a disturbing uptick in more cruelties, hoardings. Our last biggest one was in, I think it was November. We seized 29 dogs.
29. From my house.
29.
So did you see a decrease in veterinary assistance or people being able to get to the veterinarians over COVID, and maybe that's why there's an uptick?
The uptick we saw from COVID was strays.
Really?
People needing to surrender.
Mm. Okay.
Because everybody got COVID dogs.
Yeah,
sure.
Because everybody was home. And then now, oh, wait, all of a sudden everybody's going back to school and back to work, and we cannot handle this dog anymore because of A, B, C, or D. And yeah.
Which baffles me.
It does. It does. I stay busy constantly, and I still have three dogs at home that are
right,
extremely well taken care of, extremely well trained, and they're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
I got my dog here in the video.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I'm when you're saying extremely well trained, I'm like,
yes.
Can you help with this guy? Because he is.
Give me a clicker in 5 minutes and I got you.
Hear that, Moo? I'm going to get you fixed because you're crazy, boy. You're crazy.
I don't know. You haven't met Rex either.
It's true. Heather, what about your jurisdiction's access to care? Like, do you as a department offer anything specific to help people that like you may need assistance with spay neuter, those type of things, or is there anything in your community?
Our rescues around the area usually do ones like that. And they'll have several times a year, they'll do vaccination clinics or microchip clinics. And that's where we can help people, refer them out to that, let them know when and where it's going to be. Right now we don't have anything where we can actually help with veterinary care. And that's simply budget constraints, everything else. But if I have somebody that their option is either surrender their dog because they can't afford dog food or something like that, I have a shed full of food.
Okay.
So we can handle that. We were doing dog houses for people who don't have the option of bringing their dog inside due to rental property or whatever, but they couldn't afford a dog house. I have two of them down there now, and we're working on getting some more. We will gladly take a dog house to somebody. If that means they get to keep a pet that they love and want to have, but just can't physically bring it in the house. We keep straw, we keep shavings, all of that.
Well, speaking of that, shavings and straw, Just a quick note. I think a lot of times people, when we're out there doing welfare checks on dogs outside and in dog houses, I think people assume or think it's normal to just throw blankets or towels in the dog house. But what's the what's the problem if we do that?
Yeah, they're going to get wet. They're going to get cold. Yeah. They're going to freeze. And then if you're half the dogs, even here at the shelter, have blankets in their pens with them, they're going to get shredded.
They're going to, So putting down hay or something like that is going to be much more efficient when it comes to keeping them warm.
Yes.
I got a story I want to read, but before we do that, I just, I'm really, this story has me, my blood's boiling a little bit. Oh. I'm a little fired up. And I don't normally get fired up here on the
That's a bullshit lie.
Slash animal control report slash pot. Also, I'm just all over the place. I literally, my sleep tracker, I should show this on the video. Hold on. So this has been the last week of my sleep. It's insane. Actually, it's not, it's getting better. I will say it's getting a little better. But I'm averaging 4 point something hours of sleep. And that's not like all in one sitting. It's like an hour here, 25 minutes there, 30 minutes on Facebook, 10 minutes on Instagram, 45 minutes on Amazon. I wake up with a pallet in front of my door now every morning, a pallet from Amazon. It's just all sorts of stuff. I can't sleep. I'm just like, what? I need that. I woke up this morning to some new vegan protein shake stuff. I got compression socks coming. And then I also got, what else did I order? Compression socks. Oh, and water filters. Yeah, that's what I did last night. I heard vegan protein, compression socks, and water filters because I can't sleep.
But you digress.
Oh, yeah, we were going to read that article. I guess I can jump in. But before I do, Heather, if you could have coffee with anyone in the world, who would it be and why?
Oh, now see, that's a hard one.
Yeah, we throw things out there.
There are several options, and I think I'll be okay. Here we go. And this will kind of dive into my background too. I think right now at this point where I'm sitting, it would have to be Steve Irwin.
Oh, that's nice. Cool.
Nice.
And that is simply because how do you, in the span of his life, keep that much enthusiasm and that much passion for what you do daily? It doesn't waver anything.
And then somehow pass it on to his kids.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how fascinating is that?
His kids are rocking it right now.
Yeah,
yeah, they
absolutely.
Are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, all right. That was my answer at this point right now.
Could you imagine that guy on caffeine? There's a
shit.
I'm pretty sure he's crazy on cocaine.
He was on something. That's for damn sure. All right, let's jump into this story. Let's keep it moving. Keep it humane, just like the podcast network. Also, check out the Keep It Humane podcast network at www.keepithumane.com/podcast network. You won't want to miss some of the partners that we got going on there. All right, here we go. This is from Andrew Donovan wrote this from WSYR. You can go to localsyr.com. Humane Society doesn't want Rome dog control doing direct adoptions. That's right, folks. The Humane Society doesn't want the animal control in the community doing dog adoptions. That's what I read. Rome, New York. The staff of the Humane Society of Rome was watching Nine News on Wednesday, January 24th, when it was reported that the city of Rome's dog control officers were doing direct adoptions to new owners. The officers planned the adoptions to be a creative way to more quickly free up space for the barrage of incoming strays, but the Humane Society feels there are some unintended consequences. It's a loss of revenue if they don't bring the dogs to us, said the Humane Society of Rome's board chair, Lynn Rosen. We'll work with them. We'll find open cages because, one, it will help them, and two, it brings revenue to us. The dog control department says it doesn't have enough space for incoming strays, so instead of burdening the Humane Society, the officers are marketing dogs in their care directly to new owners. The Humane Society's manager, Robin Genovese Kaminsky, said, When I heard that, I said, there's more to it than just being turned away. Turned away sounds like we weren't willing to help or work together. I'm very proud of the way we have worked together. The Humane Society is often full because it has contracts with many municipalities to take custody of stray dogs, many which don't have temporary holding facilities the city of Rome now has. Okay? But the Humane Society says the Humane Society says it will always try to take another dog, the board president said. Give us a day, 2 days, give us a week. Cages always open up. She says no dog should have to wait in the city's of Rome's animal control facility for months. Okay, I get that. And no dog, that's the end of the article. And I'd love to get your thoughts. So basically, they would rather the dog sit in the facility for a day, 2 days, a week, versus just getting it adopted directly from that facility.
I legally can't adopt out dogs.
Okay.
My state statute says that I cannot have any hand in the disposition of an animal.
As a humane law enforcement
officer.
So what, because your face looked a little dumbfounded when I was reading that. Where's
had your nothing to do with your reading.
Where's your thoughts on this?
I think that they should be going to the Humane Society, and the Humane Society should be responsible for it. There's nothing saying that the animal control officers can't direct people there and be like, hey, we have this dog, you know, here's a bunch of the dogs that we've picked up. They're over at the Humane Society. Let the Humane Society make those decisions as to who's getting them or Hold who's on. Adopting them.
Pause. So you would rather dogs just sit in their facility when they have the ability to adopt them out just because the Humane Society wants to make the money from the dog? That's all that article said.
I understand why my state makes it law that I can't.
That's not what we're talking about.
Have a hand in it.
I'm talking about the article in Rome, New York. You're not in Rome, New York. And you're not in Massachusetts either.
None of us are.
So I want to know, Bishop, like, this is, to me, it comes down to they want to be the ones collecting the revenue.
Collecting the revenue, I have an issue with. Animals are not, they shouldn't be used as moneymakers, in any sort. So I think that needs to be addressed, but I don't have, it's complicated in my feelings. Heather, I don't disagree with them being there.
If I recall, Heather, when I came and visited, and it's ironic or synchronic, however you want to define it, aren't you set up similarly?
Yes, we do not do adoptions directly from our shelter. And that is simply due to we do not have the staff, the space or anything. So we don't really have contracts with rescues, if you will. When they have room or have an adopter, because all of our animals that we bring in are posted online. They're on our Facebook page, they're on our city page, everything else. And we have it set up now where a rescue can email in. They do have to be an approved rescue. So they have to have the 501c3, all that good stuff. They can email in and be like, hey, I have somebody interested in dog number, da 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 da. Is it available? And can we get it scheduled for spay neuter? And all, because we do all the shots and everything when they come in. Our vet comes in, does rabies shots one day a week.
Okay.
And then they can go to those different rescues and the rescues will do the adoptions from there. We do not see any revenue from any of that.
Are there ever times where an animal will actually like be adopted through the rescue, like from the paperwork aspect, but mm-hmm. leave directly from
yes.
your facility?
Yeah. Yes.
And that's what I can see.
Yeah.
Yeah. If the rescue doesn't have physical room in their facility, but they have somebody who's willing to, hey, we've already got the spay neuter appointment set up and the first, you know, pet visit set up. They'll do all the paperwork through the rescue. Rescue will let us know, hey, I have them coming out. When are you available to hand them their dog? You know, they'll even ask us if they can come out and check out a dog to see if it's going to be a good fit for them before
oh, that's
they
good. Yeah, that's good.
So we try to do things like that. A problem we were running into is so, like a rescue would tag an animal and it still wouldn't leave for weeks. And of course that was, you know, creating an issue here because our intakes haven't stopped. They haven't slowed down. We have not had that typical winter slowdown in the last 2 years that we would typically get. So we're constantly running anywhere between 50 and 60 dogs.
And are you still in the process of building a new shelter?
Yes, it is all in the architect's hands right now. They have the property purchased. And they're looking at breaking ground at some point in time this year. Hopefully, knock on wood, whatever's around. And we should be in it by some point in 25.
Okay. Will that change with the adoption?
What's that?
Will the adoption thing change in the new shelter?
That I'm not sure yet. I don't think they have any of that part done. Right now, we're just ensuring that we have more space than what we have now.
Got it.
And dedicated space, because as you saw, we have our general population and then we have quarantine room. Our quarantine room, you can kind of call it a quarantine room. They're all single, but it's still not what I would consider a quarantine room. Right now it's more overflow than anything else and for bite dogs. But we're going to double the space on all of that and also have, I think they're doing three different kennel sizes. So that's going to help us immensely. So yeah, it's just waiting there. But as soon as we do that, of course, we're going to have more county things coming in because then we'll be able to take, right now, we cannot take any animals in from outside the city limits.
See, and I think that's where maybe my perspective is different, Dan, because I don't have a facility. I work for the police department. We contract with our local humane society to take in the animals. They do have varying adoption fees, but I can tell you based on the average length of time that an animal is at the shelter and what they put into those animals as far as vaccines and time and care and other medical spay neuter, because they are all spay neuter before they go. I think at most they charge, I say roughly $250 for an animal. So they are absolutely not recouping anything on these animals. And so the revenue part bothers me because they should not be making back, if nothing else, breaking even on the animal.
Right.
But I don't think, because some of us have connections to the animals that we take in for various reasons because we know certain things. And so I think that makes it harder for us to be able to say, okay, no, this family can get this animal or can't get this animal based on things that we know that, you know, maybe just put us more emotionally in depth than somebody looking from the outside who doesn't know. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I think my biggest issue is length of stay, right? Like if you have to wait 3, 5, 2, whatever, however many days or one day because the facility was able to get that animal adopted the way, you know, immediately from their care, that's the end game, in my opinion, but it's just how I look at it. So, you know, I know a lot of different agencies do things differently and that's okay. But at the end of the day, like, I think that the main goal should be getting animals out of our facilities and into homes.
Well, and revenue should have never been mentioned in that article, let alone as many times as it was.
Yeah, it seems like it was all about the
they're
dollars.
Taking money. You know, this actually happened to me, believe it or not. So I'm sure it's not hard to believe. I worked in Eagle County, Colorado for a few years, a few months, actually. I only lasted a few months. No surprise. This was back in 2015, so almost 9 years ago. I went up there and I worked for the county animal services, and it's still there. And then there's a humane society there as well. But the humane society has a name as such, but it's really a rescue, right? They just use the name humane society, but they're not like a brick and mortar type of facility. They're, you know, rescue partners. And ultimately what ended up happening is a couple of different things. We, as the county shelter, we were only known like even on Google, et cetera, the name of our department was Eagle County Animal Services. And so there was like this kind of a mislabeling of the shelter, because that we were the brick and mortar facility. We were the shelter. There were a lot of times people would call and say, are you the Humane Society? Are you the shelter? And then we'd have to explain to them, we are the shelter, but we're not the Humane Society. The Humane Society is a rescue organization, right? And so we actually changed the name from Eagle County Animal Services to Eagle County Animal Shelter and Services to be just more clear in that. We had a case where there were 100 dogs that were being transported from Texas to the state of Washington in the wintertime and went over Interstate 70 and got into a vehicle accident. And so we had to get into response mode, and we got a lot of positive publicity. Is that the word? From that.
Positive.
Positive. And what ended up happening, and let me first take some responsibility for just being overzealous in the aspects of wanting our department to succeed without putting any emphasis on some of the things that we were doing could affect our partners, right? So I really didn't have much foresight when it came to like cause and effect. I was only really caring about what, you know, the impact that our department would have. And so long story short is the Humane Society got upset because we were ultimately taking revenue, right, from them, that because it was such a small community, they were able to really target like an attack towards me and through some of the county commissioners and things of that nature. And so I eventually resigned from the job just from all the political pressure. It sucks that we have to allow that type of stuff when it comes to animals. My goal when I was the manager of that department was how to make the animals in our facility more available to the community. It was never personal. It wasn't about revenue or anything like that. It was just, how do we make these animals available? And unfortunately, that had an impact on the Humane Society or the rescue, if you will.
I think this goes back to a conversation that we had not too long ago on a different episode, though, because NACA recently put out that statement saying that the ACOs and they expect ACOs and humane societies and shelters to work together.
Yeah, right? I recall that. Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm saying, like, I can see everybody having to work together, but just having to make somebody else make the final decision of where the animals go.
It's great when that actually works.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, here we have, and I'm not going to mention any names just because that's not how I play. We have situations to where, kind of a case in point, it was a couple months ago, we had a rescue in town that came upon a dog. I will not say how they did because we're still not sure, that they swore up and down had been shot. And they had it at first they said it was at their vet. Well, that's BS. They had one of their paid employees looking at it who is not a vet. I was getting messages from our quote unquote rescue coordinator, which was a volunteer position at the time, who is not even in my city, messaging me of, can they bring this dog to you? It needs to go to a vet to be checked out. They think it's okay, but they need to do whatever. And I flat out told them, depending on this dog's injuries, if I have to make a decision, I will make a decision on it. It will not be up to the rescue because you've already signed it over to me to make that decision. So the dog gets over here. It was not shot. It did have a very sizable wound that they were talking about. Having been around this animal before and other officers telling me what they had seen, owner was a POS. I'm sure we don't run into those, who didn't give a damn about the dog. This was a dog that we could never get within 10 feet of without it wanting to tear us up. When rescue brought the dog out to me, I took one look at it and I'm like, there is something neurologically wrong with this dog.
Yeah.
It was sitting there, lights on, nobody's home. It got to the vet. There were numerous injuries, possibility of an enclosed head injury. I made the decision because I'm not going to let a dog suffer. That's not my MO.
Correct.
I got so freaking slammed by this rescue. They I was getting threats.
That's horrible.
The only thing that saved them is they never mentioned my name, but they all knew exactly who I was, as did the people that they work with, to the point of I had to watch my back when I was coming in to my own office at 7 o'clock in the morning. I had other people yelling at me.
Heather, it shouldn't be that way. Like, we all have the same goal, is to help animals.
Exactly. But the problem was, guess who's doing a fundraiser to try to build a new facility? Guess who uses special case dogs they come across to help do that?
Got that. I get it.
So I took away revenue source.
I want to switch gears because we could spend a lot of time on that. I before we go, I have to read another article really quick because I forgot about this, and I'm sitting here thinking, I was like, I know we got something good. You already know where this is going. The Springfield Police Department responded to an unusual call on Tuesday night. Two Springfield police officers responded to the report of a lemur in the road near Kimbrough and Woodland. After chasing the lemur for a short while, the officers were able to capture the lemur in a towel. Springfield Green County Animal Control came and took the lemur away to keep it safe. According to the Facebook post, a family was connected to animal control to be reunited with this lost lemur. However, it is illegal to have a lemur as a pet in Springfield. Heather, this is all you, bro. Talk about it.
Ding, ding, ding.
This came in at an on-call, didn't it? This was an overnight.
Yes, this was on an on-call. My officer called me, and if you'll pardon me.
What the fuck do I do with a lemur?
Yeah, pretty much. It was a phone call. I answered it. Tells me what was going on, and her next words were, "What the fuck do I do with this?" All right, where are you? And luckily for me, it was like 5 minutes away from my house. And I think Daniel knows my background. I was a zookeeper for 20 plus years.
Nice.
So I'm like, hell yeah, I got this. Let's go. I get there. They have it. This thing is freaking terrified.
No.
It just had officers chasing it after we told them not to. Just wait. So I get there. I take it. It's freaking out. My officer gets there. I've got people coming up. Oh, we'll take it. We'll take it. No, you won't. We took it over to our emergency vet, had it checked over a little bit, and no signs
of any domestic vet can, right?
Yeah, it was crazy. So we bring it back to, we put it in my office because I'm not going to put it anywhere where there's animals. I mean, come on, it's already stressed out enough. This thing, I have pictures. It was on top of my bookshelf in my office. It was on my officer at one point in time. It almost took a giant poop in my printer on my desk. It was great. Finally got it to eat a little bit, and it spent the night in my office. And then our vet was here the next day and looked over everything. Perfectly healthy. Great. They'd missexed it, which was really funny. So the owner did come out to the shelter later, and we were talking, and I said, you know, here's what it is. I'm not going to tell you that you cannot reclaim this. I mean, this is your property because Missouri pets are considered property still, even though it is illegal to have it. We went through everything and she decided on her own to sign it over to us, and it went to a sanctuary same day.
Nice.
You know, but we got slammed because, well, they took it away and wouldn't let her have it. Bullshit. No.
Where's the closest zoo? If you were to, I mean, obviously a sanctuary works too, but like, where is there a Springfield?
Yeah, there is a zoo here.
Missouri yeah. Again.
There is a zoo here, and it's literally not even a mile away from my shelter.
Okay.
With zoos though, they have to have room.
Yeah.
And an exotic like that has to spend a certain amount of time in quarantine.
Yeah.
And at that point in time, they didn't have the facilities and everything to do what needed to be done. But a sanctuary that's outside of town did have room, and they've actually taken ones like that before. The lemur is there now, and it is doing phenomenal. Okay. I made sure with the owner that signed it over, she can go out and visit.
Well,
we made
cool.
sure of that.
Yeah,
that's cool.
So yeah.
So for those of us who, you know, let's be real, people all over this country do stupid things like this all the time.
Yeah.
How do you catch a lemur?
It really depends. There are certain ways to do it. There's always the treats. There is always
introduced. What kind of treats?
For them, for this particular lemur, holy cheddar popcorn. No joke.
White Interesting. Cheddar,
what is this? Smart Pop, whatever it is, in the black bag?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was the one thing we finally got it to eat the night we got it.
Huh.
But anything like that that is a, would be considered a treat, like bacon for dogs, right? Okay. Anything like that that's going to be something different that they're not used to. So you have that option. Obviously, the safest option for a smaller animal like that is going to be a net.
Yeah.
But there were also people calling, well, why didn't they dart it? Why don't dart I dart it? You? I mean,
I would have went to the local, what is the cool little health food store that y'all got in Springfield? I always go there
Mama
when I visit.
Jean's?
Yeah. I'd have went there. I'd have bought a box of Leaping Lemurs. It's peanut butter and chocolate cereal, and it has a lemur on the box. And I'd have been like, if you don't respond to this lemur, we got problems, bro. Just walk us through this really quick. What time of the night did you get this phone call?
This was probably close to, 9 o'clock.
So did you answer the phone like, come again?
Yeah, because she was like, she called and she's like, I have a weird one for you. I'm like, all right, what you got? I'm thinking it's somebody's got something weird going on. And she's like, somebody has there's a lemur running loose. And I'm like, okay, wait, what? Back up a little bit, what? Yes, apparently there's a lemur loose. They think it was hit by a car. And I'm like, are they sure it's a lemur?
How did
or is it,
it
a
actually,
cat and somebody's drunk? I don't know.
How did it get out?
Apparently they found the house that it lived at. And I did drive by the next day and it had pushed the screen out.
Oh, wow.
Because she had its thing set up kind of like in a window area, which cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I figured out how to push the screen out. Ta-dum,
and
have it on their security camera.
And nobody got bit.
Yeah, nobody got bit.
I had a CSO call me up and he's like, so what do I do with the fox? First thing out of my mouth, don't get bit.
Yeah.
He goes, and I'm like, you didn't.
Too late.
Yeah,
that one made national news, but that's.
Oh, yeah.
Because we had to euthanize then, and that was.
Yeah, those are never any good.
Yeah.
We'll have those occasionally. We'll get fox in the middle of town that, of course, are mangy. And we had one that was literally witnessed eating a deceased bat. So, I mean, there's
great.
Your. Oh, yeah. That was 2 hours in a storm drain with Public Works above me going, what do I do if it gets past you? Don't worry about it. It's not going to get past you.
Right.
So, you know.
Can I just say this? Not to be mean, but 2 hours in a storm drain sounds like the Springfield, Missouri airport. Just throw that out there.
You're not wrong. You are not wrong. Yeah. Anytime we get a call out by the airport, I cringe automatically.
I would have. Because
no.
So what do you got planned for 2024 as far as just, you know, anything exciting other than, I mean, obviously the new shelter build is pretty exciting.
The new shelter stuff, I am working on a lot of different things here.
You've been really active in bringing training to the area.
Yes.
I've noticed that. So
I'm working on a lot of that. I did finish instructor training for myself.
Yeah.
So that I can work towards doing more of that. I'm basically just trying to bring our department up to where it needs to be and not where it was stuck for the longest time. I'm trying to kind of change perspective around here of, no, we're not just dumb dog catchers like we've all heard. And, you know, I train my people of, when you first start, you hear that first cruelty and you're like, all right, I'm going to nail somebody's ass. I'm going to do all this and na, 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 na. And you get over there and instead of looking at the entire situation, that's automatically what you want to do. And I have, you know, I have in particular ones that's their first thought until I have them go back and look at key things.
Sure.
I'm like, okay, what did you see here? What did you do here? I'm like, what's going to be accomplished to the person who has 5 kids, 2 dogs, and is struggling? What's that citation going to do? Mm-hmm. Is it obvious that they are trying the best they can with their pets and actually love their pets? Okay. How do we help them with that?
Yeah, instead that of approach. Saying, I love that approach. I think it's one thing if somebody is intentionally cruel to an mm-hmm. animal. It's another thing if it's maybe an educational thing or maybe it is a monetary thing, mm-hmm. something like that. And so I appreciate you taking that approach for sure.
Yeah, that's one of my biggest things is we have to have empathy in what we do and compassion. And if you lose that, and I tell all my officers this, if you lose that at any point in time, that's your clue to move on. Mm-hmm. I don't need somebody here that doesn't give a damn anymore. Because that's no good to anybody.
So what's your new motto, Dan?
Help people, help animals.
There you go.
Also, I just want to say this, and I'll put you on the spot. It doesn't matter, Heather.
He doesn't care.
Why would I care? No, I mean this. I've been, first and foremost, and I actually mean this sincerely, I've been blessed and grateful to meet a lot of people throughout our profession. And as you both know on this show that, I really enjoy the work that all of us do as a group, you know, collectively. And one thing that was pretty apparent and appreciative from you, Heather, right away is your want and willingness to help continue to bring this profession up, to help promote the solid work that we do, and also to help create a community amongst officers. And I think you do a great job. The hoodie that you're wearing is something you came up right with, the ACO fam or the AC fam is something you came up with. And I just, we need more of you in this industry. We really do. We need people that are leaders in the roles that you're in and really bringing that expectation to your department. And I just want to say from someone that, you know, I've known you now for a few years, and I just want to say, like, sincerely, I appreciate the work that you're doing and want to figure out ways to continue to support it. So whether it's giving you an opportunity to talk about stuff on the program, whether it's, you know, promoting some of the, you know, the ideas and creative stuff, whether it's training, this hoodie that you came up with, whatever it may be, I'm here for you. And I just wanted to,
I appreciate that, man. That does mean a lot. It's taken, going on 13 years, it's taken a good 10 of that to get where I'm at now. And it's the same way. If I can continue to either help my people or help somebody else with something, then I'm going to do it. You know, my thing, and I tell my guys this, is I want you to be better than I am.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's how it goes. And it's one of those things that is very important to me. You know, every life back there means something. And same with my officers. That's my family. That's my second family. I have my home family and I have my work family, and nothing can take that away. So I appreciate everything that you all do. And I appreciate you letting me come on here and kind of play around a little bit, do a little talking, do a little, you know, selfish promotion, as you saw me put the cup up there.
There it is.
So where do we find this?
This, I actually have somebody else doing this right now, but I am getting ready to partner up one of my officers. Her brother actually has a laser engraver at home.
Oh, cool.
So nice. We're going to work on that. And as soon as I have more details on it, then I'll get that out there. I'm just doing interest-based.
Okay.
So,
if anybody wants to get in touch with Heather, just reach out to the show and we can put you directly. That way you don't have to put your phone number out on the, awesome. The public world, but we can get you in touch directly if you want to get a hoodie or something like that. So,
yeah, I was just trying to Google it while I was sitting here.
But yeah, I do have the calendars coming too. I put that out there a while ago. Yep. Yeah, they are, our print shop got bogged down, but they are in printing now. And I actually had so much interest in that I'm going to be doing two separate ones.
Oh, cool. Nice.
So the first one will come out, and
you were collecting photos for that. I remember seeing that. That was cool.
Oh yeah, there was some great ones. Oh my gosh, I've not laughed so hard in a while. but yeah, as soon as those hit, I'll let you know. I'll get those out to those who want them, and it's all about having some fun and kicking some butt.
That's nice. It. Well, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate you taking the time today. And as always, check out our website, keepithumane.com. Bishop, what else we got for him?
Check out Instagram, YouTube, the Facebook, the Book of the Face. I don't have anything other specific.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody, and let's help people.
Help animals.
Keep it humane.
Sounds great.